Well, good morning, everyone. We welcome you to the House of the Lord this morning. If you're linking in online, we welcome you as well, and we trust the Lord will bless our coming together in His name this morning. Just making some announcements at this stage of our service. We do appreciate your continuing to comply with restrictions as we have been having them in place, entering and exiting and while in the building. And you know that this is all for our safety in the house of the Lord. And of course, these are difficult times. Many of our ministers at present are affected by this virus, and do pray for them that the Lord will touch and heal them, particularly Reverend David Smith, who's in hospital at present with breathing difficulties. Do remember him. And Reverend Goods has got out of hospital, and we're thankful for continued answer to prayer for him. But remember these brethren, others, Reverend Brown, Reverend Higginson, a number of men are afflicted by this virus. So please pray that the Lord will keep us all safe in these times. Do remember the baskets at the exits for your offerings. There's separate baskets for the missionary offerings of today, for Brother Andrew, the work of CEF this morning, and this evening for Sister Christina and the work that she represents. We do welcome our brother, Mr. Andrew McMullen, his wife Beulah, with us this morning for this special missionary Sunday morning service. And we trust the Lord will bless them as they have come into our midst today. We welcome them. They're no strangers. They've been with us before. And we look forward to hearing from Andrew later in our service this morning. Could I mention also the Missionary Sunday continues tonight with Miss Christina Logan, who's a children's worker under our mission board. And the soloist is Mrs. Vivian McCoy. Do join us again this evening for our evening service and to support this work again and the retiring offering for our sister Christina. Remember the season of prayer from 20 past 6 to 6:45 in the youth room upstairs. And do join us for that, please. On Tuesday evening, the Bible study and prayer meeting, we encourage you to come. It's in the church hall. I will be speaking myself, God willing, at that. That's on Tuesday evening at 8 p.m. Friday night for our elders, presbytery meeting continues on Zoom by means of the usual link. You can link into that meeting for elders and ministers on Friday night at 8 o'clock. Next Lord's Day, Sunday school continues at 10. Our normal services next Lord's Day. I will be here, God willing, to bring the Word of God at both services. Our sister Natasha will minister in song in the evening time. There's no building fund next Lord's Day because the harvest is on Lord's Day, the 10th of October. At 11:30, Reverend Joshua Moffat, minister of our Bangor Church, will be the preacher, and soloist Mr. David Warwick. In the evening time, Reverend Ryan McKee from Macrofelt will be the preacher, and the singers will be Reverend and Mrs. McKee. It is a special gift day for our building fund on that particular day. So remember that. That's why the building fund is delayed. So we'd like to raise a considerable amount of money on that particular day, a gift day, and we trust that you will remember that and that you will give as the Lord has prospered you. With present restrictions, we're not asking people again to bring flowers and fruit and vegetables, just people congregating together. You'll understand that. And there'll be a small decoration in the church again this year. And again, with restrictions, sadly, we can't really have our Monday night praise service and supper. So we're still restricted in many ways, but you'll understand that we will have the harvest on the Lord's Day, the 10th, and we trust you'll support that. Sicknesses, do remember our sister Mary as she, treatment continues. Irene McBurney as she waits for the particular surgery that she needs, do pray for her. Remember also Nessie's daughter Catherine in your prayers at this time, at the Lord, and these others that I've mentioned earlier, and do pray for them as well, that the Lord will touch them. We're seeking to look at ways how we can get various aspects of the church life started again safely, parent and toddlers, children's meeting, Awana, youth work, etc. We're making contact with leaders. We've been doing that. And we're looking always for volunteers. Appreciate those who have already volunteered to help out. If you can help out in any way and you feel it's safe for you to do so, then please contact any of us or the leaders in those areas of the work and say we appreciate those who have responded already. There are little cards there for Andrew and Beulah as you leave. Do please pick them up and remember them, of course, in your prayers that the Lord's hand will be upon them. I understand there's some birthdays that have taken place or about to take place. I understand that maybe has taken place with David Foster here, a birthday, and also I understand Betty Lewis has a birthday. I was warned about that, but maybe there's others as well. Somebody's pointing up the church here, but I'm not sure who they're pointing at. Robert, have you had a birthday as well, Robert? Oh dear, right. There's a lot of fingers pointing at you, Robert. I hope you're going to get a lot of gifts from these people that are pointing at you. But anyway, we wish you many happy returns, and may the Lord bless you all. Also, Reverend Greenfield yesterday had his 50th wedding anniversary. So we wish them well and congratulate them on reaching 50 years. Of their wedding, so do remember the Greenfields at this time as well. Also, the news update from the Missionary Council, those leaflets or updates are available as you leave the services today. Now we're going to join in the singing as we keep our seats of number 669. It's on the screen. We keep our seats, and then if you're able, I understand some people can't stand for prayer, don't worry about that. But do please stand if you can for prayer after the singing of this hymn.
Thank you. Father in heaven.
We come into thy holy presence this morning in the peerless and precious name of the Lord Jesus. We thank thee for the merits of the precious blood. We thank thee for the redemption ground upon which we stand this morning. Redemption ground, the ground of peace. We rejoice, O God, that he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. We thank thee today that we are redeemed. O, praise the Lord. Our soul from bondage free has found at last a resting place in him who died for me. O God, we thank thee for thy great mercy and thy great salvation. As we come this morning to this day when we think about missionary work, and particularly today, the work among boys and girls, the men and women of tomorrow, we ask of thee, O God, today, that thou wouldst focus our minds upon the truth of thy word, and even the words of Jesus concerning the little children, and he set them in the midst of him. And Lord, when he took them up in his arms and put his hands upon them and blessed them and said, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. And Father, we pray that we will be careful not to offend one of these little ones. For Lord, if we do so, it's better that a millstone were put around our neck and we were drowned in the midst of the sea. Father, we come today and we pray that thou wilt help thy servant as he's come into our midst. Bless his dear wife also who has joined with him. We pray that thou wilt bless them today as they fellowship with him, with us. And as he brings thy word, that thou wilt help him, anoint him, equip him, empower him. As he tells of the work that he is engaged in, that thou wilt, O God, bless him mightily. And Lord, challenge every heart that is gathered and those who are listening to this service, even through what is said this morning. We pray that thou wilt bless thy work right across the land and across the world. The missionary cause is great. The challenge is great. The fields are white unto harvest, but the laborers are few. Thou hast exhorted us to pray the Lord of the harvest that he will thrust forth laborers into that harvest field. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look in the fields, for they are white already unto harvest. Bless thy cause at home and abroad, we pray of thee. We ask for the congregation here that thou wilt meet every need, and know the needs that have been mentioned already. For Mary, for Aaron, for Eric's wife, O God, in her need, we thank thee for answer to prayer even during the week. For others, O God, who are facing treatments, going through, O God, treatments in days ahead or consultations, we pray for thy touch upon each one. For our brethren in the ministry who are laid aside, we pray for thy touch upon them. Think of that family in Ballinahinch too, suffered this awful tragedy. Pray for, O God, that home today, that thou wouldst comfort them. And Lord, that thou wouldst draw near, we pray of thee. And in the midst of tragedy, that thou wilt bring thy comfort and thy grace and thy salvation to those in the circle that are not saved. O God, give help to those who minister in that situation, even at this time. Father, we pray that you'll hear us for our land in its awful need. Lord, this world of ours, in the midst of this pandemic and all that's happening, O God, across this world, we pray that thou wilt intervene, rise up to deliver. Save us, O God, in this time, we pray. Send us a breath of thy Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. You may be seated. Now, we're delighted to have Mr. Andrew McMullen with us this morning to minister to us and to share with us about his work. He's going to speak now for a few moments to the boys and girls.
Well, I'd like to thank the Reverend Smiley for having us along today to share
in your service, and it's a great to have the opportunity to speak to the boys and girls, and I think most of them are up above, so that's brilliant. You can see, and I'm hiding what I have in my hands. So I've brought a little object along with me today, boys and girls. I want you to see if you can guess what it is. I'm going to give you a really simple one that'll probably a clue that will give you what it is that I have in my hand. It has four wheels. Put your hand up if you think you know. Keep your hand up to see how many hands we can get up. Okay. You probably came in one of these today. Now, that was that left of these here. There's more hands went up then. So what is it? These girls here, what is it? It's a car. Well, I've got a car. I've got two cars with me today. So I have. Well, I'll go out and bring the one in the car park in. I don't think the Reverend Smiley would like that. I have to take his door down. Well, I've brought a wee car with me. It's a Jeep I've got with me today. And you know, boys and girls, whenever I was young, whenever I was your age, I loved to build. You probably maybe don't know what it is. It's called Airfix. Now, it was mostly built in airplanes, but sometimes you had to build wee cars and different things, like wee model cars and things. And I loved doing that whenever I was a young boy at home with my parents. And whenever I think of the car, boys and girls, there's some lessons about the car that we can learn today about our Father in heaven. And we're going to learn some of those things today. Well, the first thing is, I've already mentioned four wheels. Four wheels. Why is there wheels on a car? Go ahead, shout it out. Why is there wheels in the car? Well, if you had no wheels in the car, what would happen? Or what wouldn't happen? Go ahead. It wouldn't move. You'd be stuck there, wouldn't you? You'd be stuck there. You know, boys and girls, the four wheels on the car reminds us about something very special that God has given you and he has given me. And that is the journey of life. The very fact that we can move through life. You start off as a child, a young child born into this world, and then you start to go to school, and you start to then go to maybe university, and then you get a job, and you start to work, and you start to have a family, and you get married, and then you become old like some of these people, not me. Okay? And you live the journey of life. And you know, boys and girls, I want you to always remember that God has given you life. He has given you the very breath, the Bible tells us, that you have in your lungs. And it is a very, very special thing that God has given you, the life that you have. There's something else. Now, you need these at night. If you hadn't these at night, though, we were coming down here today and it was daylight. And I thought we weren't even going to make it because my wife was driving. I'm still sweating. I don't know what she would have needed. She'd needed me driving, really. But anyway, we made it. There was traffic lights that were red, and she just thought she could drive on. And then she nearly put me out through the window to get stopped. But anyway, at night you need these. What do you need at night in a car if you're this man up here? You know? Lights, you need lights. If you hadn't lights, what would happen? What would happen? Shout it out. You'd crash. And I know we didn't need lights today. We nearly crashed, but you need lights at night, definitely. You need lights at night, or you would crash in, you crash into somebody else or into the hedge, and you would smash the car and probably maybe hurt yourself as well. Well, whenever I think of the lights, boys and girls, that reminds me something about the Lord Jesus, because the Bible tells us that he is the light of the world. What does that mean? Well, you see, boys and girls, whenever we think of light, if we hadn't got the sun in the sky that gives us light, what would happen to everything? Well, it would die, wouldn't it? Nothing would grow. Well, the Lord Jesus, he came into this world and he says he's the light of the world. He came to give us life, eternal life in heaven. See, boys and girls, this reminds me that we're all born with sin and we need something to give us eternal life. We need the Lord Jesus. You need the Lord Jesus today. If you are not a Christian today,
The Lord Jesus, he has came to give you light, eternal life in heaven through his son, the Lord Jesus, who died on the cross for you. I wonder today, have you got that light in your life? Have you Jesus in your life? Are you trusting in him? Well, there's something else in my car, all right? And I think in my car outside, you have to open up the driver's door, and there's a wee lever down here, and you pull it, and something pops. What pops open? You might need to ask your parents about that one. What would pop open? Maybe they wouldn't know either. Maybe they've never been in there. Where's it? Oh, I didn't see you. Yes, go ahead. The bonnet. That's right. Do you think the bonnet in this car opens? No? Think not. You watch. Look. Woo! No, look at that. What's in there? What's the important thing that's in there? The engine. And what would happen if you had no engine? You wouldn't move. That's right. It's a bit like the wheels. You'd just sit there. You'd have to use your feet to pedal. I'm trying to remember the character, cartoon character on TV that uses this. Mr. Flintstone. You'd have to be a Mr. Flintstone. And you'd have to pedal to get the thing moving, so you would. Well, the engine, that's where the power comes from. Well, you know, boys and girls, that reminds me about our God. Because the Bible tells us that he is all-powerful. In fact, the Lord Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And then he told his disciples, because of that, he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Tell others about him. You see, boys and girls, if you are a Christian today, remember, Jesus has given you power to live for him each and every day. And that's what he wants you to do. He wants you to live for him each and every day of your life. I'll do one more thing. There's lots of things we could take out of the car. So there is that we could teach you things about God. But one more thing I'll take. You need these if it's wet. And they're used a lot in Northern Ireland, because we live in a wet country. You use these if they're wet. If you hadn't these, it would probably be the same as the lights. You would end up crashing. So you ought. This other man up here. What is it? The windscreen wipers. That's right. The windscreen wipers. That's right. And sometimes you see them going, and they might be going slow. And then they might be going like this here if it's raining heavier. And they keep the rain away so that we can see out. Well, you know what, boys and girls? That reminds me of something absolutely wonderful. It reminds me that one day, if you are a Christian and you leave this world, God will take you to heaven. And you know what he has promised to do? He has promised to wipe away all tears from your eyes. See, that reminds me about heaven, boys and girls. Heaven is a perfect place. A place where there is no sadness, where there's no pain, where there's no sickness, where there's no sin. A perfect place that God is preparing for you if you trust in him. You see, that's the most important thing, boys and girls. You must trust in the Lord Jesus. How do you do that? You simply pray and you say, Lord, forgive me for my sin. Make me ready for heaven to meet you one day. And you know what? The Lord has promised that he will save you right now. Boys and girls, I wonder, are you trusting in Jesus today? Will he wipe away your tears one day? Because he'll either wipe them away, or the Bible says that he will cast you into a place called hell, and it's full of sorrow and full of sadness. It's an awful place. But you don't need to know that, because you've heard today how you can trust in this great and mighty, powerful God. You can trust in Jesus, have your sins forgiven, and one day he will take you to heaven, and he will wipe the tears away. And you will live in that perfect place. Not for a day, not for a week, a month, a year, 10,000 years, but for all of eternity. I wonder today, boys and girls, are you trusting in him? I trust and pray that you are. And when you get into your car, whether it's to go to school in the morning, whether it's going home from church today, whether it's going to meet your friends, whether it's going to the town, wherever it is, that you will remember about God, his Son, the Lord Jesus, and he will bring lots of these things that we have taught about today, that he will bring them back to your memory, and you will remember about him. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Brother, for those words to the boys and girls, and the boys and girls for responding so well to the questions this morning. I did mention in prayer family in our Ballinahinch Church, Eric and Lynette Seaton, to remember them particularly. They've suffered a tragedy in the family, and do please pray for that family at this time, that the Lord will give comfort and grace and help in the midst of this terrible tragedy that they have are presently going through. So remember that family. Do remember also our brother Carl Stripp in your prayers continually, that Carl will know the healing touch of the Lord and the grace and the strength that the Lord alone doth give to him at this time. Remember his wife Maureen, who we're glad is out with us this morning. 672, and we'll keep our seats again, and then we'll stand briefly for prayer, and then Brother Andrew will come again and share with us about the work that he's representing. There's a call comes ringing o'er the restless wave, send the light, send the light. There are souls to rescue, there are souls to save, send the light. Keeping our seats as we sing, and then as I said, if you're able to stand for a brief word of prayer. Gracious Father and loving God, we come now
to this part of the service where thy servant will share with us from thy word and about the work that he represents. We pray that thou wilt bless him and fill him with the Holy Spirit. Lord, grant him the power and the unction that comes alone from heaven. And bless us that we will receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save our souls. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, I really want to thank again the Reverend Smiley for his kind and wonderful invitation to come along to share in your service today. And even in the Sunday school this morning, I have to say I thoroughly enjoyed it. It is great to be before children again, because it has been such a long time from we have been able to be face to face with children from time to time. It's getting a wee bit better, but it's just great again to be there. I do want to thank this church for their support and for their prayers for us over these past years. We really do appreciate it. We do not take it for granted. If we hadn't got God's people behind us praying for us and supporting us, we could not do the work that God has called us to do. We would have to go and do something else. But we do thank you so much, and I'd ask you please continue to pray on. As the Reverend Smiley has said, we've left some prayer cards at the entrances, and I'd like to thank our brethren for leaving those around the different doors. Please take one with you and put it up and remember us as we seek to do what God has called us to do. Before I go any further, I would like to read a passage of Scripture. If you have your Bible with you, please open it. We want to turn to Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel chapter 37. And we want to read God's word from verse number 1 down to verse number 14. Just this morning, please. Ezekiel chapter 37. And we're going to start reading at verse number 1. Let's hear God's living word. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass around about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live, and I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above. But there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind, Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. And he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. When I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land, then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Amen. And we pray that God will bless the reading of his precious living word to our hearts this morning. The children of Israel, God's chosen people, have been on a great journey. Many times as we read through the Old Testament, we see that they trust God and then they turn their back on God. And God sends a punishment upon them. They get into despair and despondency and they are lost in their walk. They lose out fellowship with God. When we come to the book of Ezekiel, this man Ezekiel, this prophet of God, right from his very commissioning in chapter 3 of Ezekiel, God is using him time and time and time again to point the children, God's chosen people, back to him, to bring them back into a walk with God. Whenever we come to this chapter 37, we see an awful picture. We see deadness, lifelessness. Ezekiel is carried into this place by the hand of God and is made stand and to look all around him. I wonder if you took yourself this morning and put yourself in the place of Ezekiel, what would your thoughts be? Despair? Maybe you'd be standing thinking, well, what are we going to do now? All around is deadness. There's no hope here. What was he saying? All he was saying was bones, dried up bones. Useless. No good to anything or anybody. In the human eye, of course, that's how we would see it. And just for a few moments this morning, I want to look at a few passages, or a few verses of this chapter. And I know it's a missionary Sunday. And that's what I want to focus this passage of Scripture on. As we look at this passage of Scripture, we understand that it is God's people that need resuscitated. There needs to be life brought to people. But what I want to liken this picture that we have in Ezekiel tell is that God's people have become like the world. And they were dead. They were of no good. What is the first thing we want to look at this morning as we look at this chapter in Ezekiel chapter 37 in verse 1 to 14? The first thing I want to look at here is in verse 1, and it's just the first couple of lines. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord. In the human mind, we've already talked about the hopelessness and the despair that there was, there had to be, even in the mind of Ezekiel, this man of God. But in the midst of despair and despondency, yet when we put God into the picture, all of a sudden it changes things. Here we see this man. And if we were to go back right through this book, from this point right back, we would see every time God called this man Ezekiel to do a task, to go and to do something for him. And here we see him being carried in the spirit out to this place, to this valley of dry bones. We see constantly in Ezekiel's life the guiding hand of the Lord. As I think of Beulah and myself for a little moment, I can liken it a little bit to Ezekiel here. Because God has been leading us and guiding us over these years. Some of you this morning have spoken to me already about the work down in County Monaghan. And the last time we were here, that's where God had called us. And that's the work we were involved in. And still involved in a little bit. Down there, even in County Monaghan. But God has guided us. He has moved us on. over this past couple of years, God has unsettled us a little bit in the work in County Monaghan. But he has set us a new challenge. And of course, God never allows us to become unsettled without looking us to go and to do something else. Back a couple of years ago, the passage of scripture in Acts chapter 27, the Apostle Paul was on the boat. He was imprisoned. And the boat had run aground. And I can remember one day reading that passage of scripture, and God said a little warning across my mind. And it was this: don't be grounded. Don't get stuck just where you are. Yes, we were there at the call of God, but God was starting to move us and to challenge us to go and to do something else for him in the work of CEF that he had called us to. What was that? Well, another passage of scripture, as I was reading through God's word, Psalm 105, verse 1, make his deeds known among the people. So God was looking us to still make his deeds known among the people. And maybe you could say, well, that was still in County Monaghan. It could have been. But yet God was unsettling us and he was moving us. Numbers chapter 23, verse 26, all that the Lord speaketh to you, that you must do. By this stage, God was starting to show to us, to speak to us about what he wanted us to do. And it was to leave County Monaghan. And it was to move, to go into another part of the ministry within CEF. What was that ministry? Well, over a period of a couple of years, God led us and guided us. And this morning, I haven't time to go into it all, but God has led us and guided us to this part of the ministry. Up behind me on the projector screen, you see some names of some countries. Well, God has led us and guided us to work in these different countries with CEF, overseeing the work in these countries, sharing with the leaders in these countries, the workers in these countries, sharing the word of God, encouraging them, getting alongside them. Now, whenever God started to show us this work, I started to look at myself. I have to be honest with you folks this morning. Whenever God showed us what he wanted us to do, I was saying, God, like, you've definitely got this wrong. God, I cannot do this. Lots of doubt and lots of fear. The traveling, the meeting the people with the different languages, doing what God wants us to do. Some of these countries are really difficult, and I'll be sharing about that in a little minute or two. But you know, through it all, God was challenging us to keep going, not to turn away. 1 Kings chapter 13, God spoke to us there about the danger of turning away. There we have a young prophet, and he was given a job to do. And he was told, don't stop for bread or water. Go and do what I've instructed you to do. As that young prophet turned for home, another prophet, actually it was, offered him bread and water. And he gave in to that, and he went, and that young prophet lost his life. You see, when God calls you to do something, he's looking you to do it. It might not be easy. You might be like myself. You might feel incapable. But yet that's what God has called us to do. Just like Ezekiel, God was calling him into this seemingly impossible situation. But yet that's where God had him. You know, I want to challenge you today. What is the hand of God calling you to do? As you sit here in Ballygowan Free Presbyterian Church, or as you listen online today, what is God's hand calling you to do? See, we live in a fallen world.
You don't need me to tell you that. We live in a world where there's deadness all around. Spiritual deadness I'm talking about. God has saved you for something. Yes, to take you to heaven one day. But he's also saved you to do something on this earth. What is it? I wonder, have you ever asked God that? Maybe you say to yourself, well, surely God couldn't use me. You know, Hudson Taylor said, the will of God will never lead you where the grace of God will not keep you. If God calls you to do something, you don't need to look about. You don't need to look how you will do it. You just need to look about how God's going to help you to do it. God's grace will be with you. C.H. Spurgeon said, if you feel incapable, throw yourself upon the infinite capacity of our great God. Do you feel incapable today? Do you feel burdened today? Do you feel the pressure of this world coming in on you so much that you don't know what to do next? Maybe God has put his hand upon you and is leading you into mission work, into ministry. And you think, no way, God. Throw yourself onto the infinite capacity of God today. Follow his will for your life. It may look impossible. It may look dangerous. You may feel incapable. But we serve a God today who makes the impossible possible and who can change things for his name and for his glory. Ezekiel here, he was looking at an impossible situation, so he was. And we're going to look for a few moments at the view to see as Ezekiel stood there. What did he see? Bones after bones. One bone broken from another bone. A skeleton displaced, bones scattered everywhere. It was impossible. There was deadness all around. There was nothing Ezekiel could do about it in and of himself, of course. But God had set him here. God had put him in this place. We read about it there in the end of verse 1 and verse 2. And set me down in the midst of the valley which is full of bones and caused me to pass around about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley. Place of absolute despair. And folks, when we look around our world today, that's what our world is very much like, isn't it? Dare I even say the church in many areas today is lifeless? I trust and pray it never be said of our church. You're dead. I trust and pray that from this pulpit every week, and I believe it to be so, I have no doubt it will be, that the gospel is shared, that there never becomes that deadness. That we never lose the focus of mission, reaching out. That we seek to reach the lost for Christ. As God called us to work in Southwest Europe, in these 9 or 10 different countries, what is the picture like? What is the view? Well, up behind there you'll see some figures. Hopefully you can see them. I might have to turn around and look at someone because they're small in front of me and my eyesight's not good at a long distance. But here behind you have all the different countries. You have the amount of CEF workers in them. You have the amount of children. There's other figures there as well. There's just a couple of things I want to focus you in on for a few moments. You'll see one there that is highlighted in red. That's the island of Ireland today. So in CEF terms, there's 54 workers, CEF workers in Ireland today. 1.26 million children on the island. I want you to run your eyes down the rest of those figures. Look at the amount of children and look at the amount of workers. Belgium, 1.9 million children. And believe you me, there's not even four workers. There's a lady in the office. There's another man. He is 78 years of age. 76 years of age? 76 years of age. I made him a couple of years older than he was. He's 76 years of age. He's retiring when he's 80. He is the last man on the ground, as it were, in Belgium. Let's go a little bit further. Let's go to Great Britain. 11.7 million children. And there's not 11 full-time workers. There's a lady in the office. There's part-time workers. There's a few full-time workers. In that great land of Britain that has been blessed by God down through the years. And yet, look at the great need, folks. I could go on down those lists, but I'm just conscious of my time. What is the great need today? The great need is that God's people will be revived, resuscitated. That we will get out of our deadness, as it were. And that we will be a sending forth of missionary church again. What do we need? We need missionaries. We need people who will go and share the gospel in these nations. Maybe you say, well, why can the people there not do it themselves? Well, you know, the reason why that line of Ireland is highlighted is because I want you to realize today something. We are a blessed people. I was sitting there just as the Reverend Smiley was giving the announcements. And I was thinking of coming down the road this morning from where we live. We have the Clocker Valley Church that we attend. Slightly over to the right was Auchnacloy Free Presbyterian Church. Slightly over to the left was 6 Mile Cross. Come on down the road and we have Dungannon. Come on down the road and we have Portadown. Over to the left we have Achillea. We have Lisburn. Come on out the road here and we have Cumber over here and Kerry Duff and the other one's lost, gone out of my head. Ballinahinch. We have Ballinahinch. We have gospel preaching churches on every street corner of our towns. You see, when you go to some of these countries, they don't have that. Bulow was chatting to a man, it's actually in Northwest Europe this man came from, at a conference back a couple of years ago in Germany. There was a lady pastor and she believed in things that we wouldn't believe in to be right. And Bulow says, how do you go there? He says, I'd have to travel hundreds of miles to get a church that would be different. It just simply wasn't there. They don't have the church network that we have. What I want you to understand today, folks, is we are a blessed people. And what we don't need to do is throw it away. God has blessed us so much. You know, I can bring, my children now are taller and bigger than me, most of them. But I could bring my children to a gospel preaching church where they hear the gospel. Children's meetings where they hear the gospel. Mission conventions where they hear the gospel. Good news clubs where they hear the gospel. Schools where they hear the gospel. But whenever you go to these countries, it's not like that. there is a massive need. As we look around those countries of Southwest Europe, what do we see? Lots of dry bones. Lots of dry bones. Despair. The old David Livingstone, that man who went and travelled the world, that great explorer, he said this, that the salvation of men ought to be the chief desire and aim of every Christian. And maybe you're sitting here today and you're saying, well, all these countries, they're not my responsibility. Well, I have a view on that. I believe they are. They're your responsibility and they're mine. What was our great commission? It was to go into all the world and preach the gospel. It was to go and make disciples of all nations. You see, folks, it is our responsibility. Go into all the world and tell them about Jesus. I wonder today, does this challenge you? This view of Southwest Europe. There's only one corner of Europe, by the way. You have Northwest Europe, you have Central Europe, and you have Eastern Europe. We're just talking about one little corner of Southwest or of Europe. There's one figure I want you to remember. It's on the screen. It's this here figure. As you go home today, I want you to think of the 48.26 million children. I'm going to say it again. I want you to think of the 48.26 million children. That's the view. We are blessed. Many of these countries do not have what we have. But yet we have been given the responsibility to go. Very quickly, I want to come to my last point. Here, Ezekiel, in verse 4, he's given a word to say. What was the word? It's the very last line. O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto thee bones. Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. This is spiritual life here. This is spiritual life. This is eternal life. Ezekiel is given the command to speak. Speak what? His own words? No. He has to speak the word of God. He had a word to say. What was the word? The word of God. Not his own words. And God was going to put sinews on these bones and he was going to breathe breath into them. And of course, Ezekiel, he had to speak all these things. And God sent these things to come and to resuscitate these people who were dead. It was an awful situation, wasn't it? But yet God was working. And he made these people to stand up. And what does it tell us? They became a great army. What do we need in Southwest Europe today? We need a great army of people who are spiritually revived, spiritually awake. We need to go and share the word of God. Not Andrew McMullen's word, not Beulah McMullen's word, but God's word. You know, over in Romans, and you'll know this passage of scripture well, over in Romans chapter 10, in the verse 14, there's some questions asked there. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? You often hear it at missionary conventions. The hows. How? Verse 15 goes on to say, and how shall they preach except they be sent? Do you know what we need today? We need missionaries sent. by the church, supported by the church, encouraged by the church, prayed for by the church. If there's something I can ask you to do for us, and I know you do it, I'll ask you to pray. I'll ask you to pray for us. Because folks, in some of these countries, the work is not easy. There's lots of problems. Sometimes we say when there's people, there's problems. When you put two people together, there'll be problems. But we need your prayers. As we go and share with the workers, encourage them in God's work. See them build up and the work established. Will you pray for us? Will you support us? Maybe you're sitting there today and you're thinking, Andy, would I tell you something, son? It's impossible. There's nothing you can do. I probably agree with you. Mr. Morrison was a missionary. One of the first missionaries, I think it was, that landed on the, in, was it India or some route? I can't just remember the name, it slipped my mind. He was one of the first missionaries. It wasn't easy for him. His family didn't want him to go. It wasn't an easy route. He had to divert around different places to get to where he was going. China it was. He was one of the first missionaries, Protestant missionaries, to enter China. As he was going on that boat journey, Mr. Morrison was asked, "Do you really expect to make an impression on the idolatry of the great Chinese empire?" I love the answer Mr. Morrison had. Because it goes on to say, Mr. Morrison's steadfast reply was, "No, sir. But I expect that God will." You know, folks, we can't make one bit of difference in our strength in these countries. But I expect God will. Why? Because he's called us. He's a lot of equipping to do. That's over to him. We're trusting him for that. Will you go with us? Maybe you'll go yourself. What's God looking you to do for him today? Ezekiel, he saw these people revived. He saw the work of God established, done, built up. The same can happen in Southwest Europe. What will you do for God? Will you go with us? I trust and pray that you will. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank Brother Andrew for coming this morning and Beulah as well and sharing with us of the work. And Brother will be out there around the steps somewhere, so you'll be able to greet him as you leave this morning. And do remember the offering and the cards as well. There's a separate basket for the offering for our brother's work at the different exits, and a different basket for our own church offerings. 681, and we'll keep our seats as we sing. So send I you to labour unrewarded, to serve unpaid, unloved, unsought, unknown, to bear rebuke, to suffer scorn and scoffing. So send I you to toil for me. Hallo. Let us sing together, please.
Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all, now and forevermore. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. We welcome you to the House of the Lord this morning. If you're linking in online, we welcome you as well, and we trust the Lord will bless our coming together in his name this morning. Just making some announcements at this stage of our service.